But let him ask in what? Faith. Nothing wavering. How much can I waver? Oh, Lord, please take these warts and scars off the field now, Father, if it be your will you please do this? What did I just do? I didn't believe him, did I? I'm wavering. Lord, now, I don't know if you're going to do it for Phil or not. You know, I mean, you know, maybe it's not your will to do this for Philip. So, I mean, so if you don't do it for him, Lord, I understand, you know. I understand, you know. I mean, after all, you know, he's a little sinner, and his mother and dad are sinners. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with me, you know, Lord. I'm okay. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, you know. It's amazing what we do to say, well, now, you know, God may not do this for you. And if he don't, well, that's just his will. But don't put the monkey on me. I'm not going to be responsible for this. But look what he said. But if you ask God, ask in faith, how much wavering? You cannot waver one bit. So here's what happens. We come and pray, Lord, I want you to take away my lung cancer or whatever it is. Now, Lord, I know today's Saturday, and I've already got an appointment next Thursday with the doctor, and I'm going to go Thursday and find out if I'm healed or not. You won't be. You won't be. Because if you pray and ask him to do it, you got to have no wavering. If you say, well, Lord, I ain't going to believe this until next week when the doctor tells me you're healed. You're going to get healed? No. You didn't ask in faith. How much wavering? How much?
None.
Oh, zero? Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man, now that's girls too, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now look at the next couple of verses. Verse 8 and 9. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. So if you don't have faith, what can you get from God? Nothing. I mean, he wrote the book. I didn't write the book. So when I knelt there and prayed, I told his mother, I said, now, ma'am, her name's Sini. I said, Sini, I don't know when God's going to take them off. But I guarantee you, on the word of the living God, that in a few days, Philip will not have a wart or a scar on his body. Now, do you hear any faith in that statement? I guarantee God will do something. You can't guarantee God will do anything. Yes, you can. If he made the promise, you can stand on it, right? He demands that you stand on it. The problem's never with God. The problem's always right here. It's always right here. Now, he made us a lot of promises in here, and it's amazing. We have to stand, and I told her something else too, though. I said, you know, Mother, I'm going to guarantee you something else. When I walk out that door, there's going to be an enemy. Our enemy, the invisible beast. Satan will send at least one of his demons in here, and he's going to put this thought in your mind. Now, you don't really think, just because that young, gray-headed man came over here and knelt on the floor. I used to say that old. But now I'm going to start saying young. That young, gray-headed man came over here and knelt on the floor and prayed a few words into the atmosphere. You don't really think that God would take those warts and much less the scars. You don't think he would take those off. I said, now when that thought comes to your mind, I said, that's the devil. I said, you need to not even think about that. You need to go back over. You need to pick up your Bible. And you need to say, devil, let me show you what Jesus said right here in Matthew 18, 19. I said, now, if you stay in faith with me and you don't waver, I guarantee that in a few days or maybe a few weeks at most, Phil will not have a wart or a scar on his body. You've got to spend some time in the Word to get to where you can do that. You know that?
Yes.
Now, for the first 40 years of my life, I didn't have that kind of faith. But now we know the God that can do that, don't we, Frank? He's the God of He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's very much alive and well. I guarantee He is. I guarantee that too. And so anyway, the next morning, that was Sunday afternoon, and I walked across the street to the Baptist church because they lived right across the street from the Baptist church at that time. I walked across this church, and the very next morning when they woke up, Mama checked Phil, and the warts on his fingers and up under his fingernails were gone overnight. Now then, Mama's seeing the tangible results of prayer. Well, over the next 3 weeks, and I've said this a lot of times, and I just love telling this story. That third Sunday when Mama come into church. Now, she was a tall, slim woman. And you don't hardly ever see a charismatic mother in the Baptist church. But boy, we had one that Sunday. That girl, that tall, skinny girl was running. She was dancing. She was praising the Lord. Woo! I mean, she said, Thurman, look at Phil. He don't have a wart left on his body. She said, I've been in church for years, and I ain't never seen a miracle or a healing like this. Well, it's how sad. It's been available forever.
That's right.
But she hadn't paid the price. So when I had paid the price, and I went over and prayed for Philip, and then, of course, that third Sunday when she said, look, Thurman, feel these little hands, which before they felt like cordwood, you know, all them old warts, now they're smooth. And she said, look, the only thing's left, those two big scars. I said, Mama, don't stop believing now. And next Sunday, Phil won't have any scars. Now, somebody said, how can you make that statement? Well, when I speak it in faith and by the Holy Spirit, Mark 11:23, we went over a while ago, what did He say I could have?
Anything
I said with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, right? So when I said, by faith, He won't have them. Well, next Sunday, when Mama walked in with Philip, she said, look, Thurman, no scars. And, of course, now he's 24. And some of you might get a chance to talk to him today. Look at that big, he don't like me to do this. But he's a good-looking, healthy, big old boy. Go back there and talk to him. Feel of his hand. Shake hands with him. And praise God with him. He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. And you ask Phil, is God a miracle worker? Guess what he'll tell you. Oh, ain't no problem with Phil. That's just like Dave, just like Terry up here. And Frank, you ask him, is God a miracle? Oh, yeah, is He ever? They all know because they've seen it. They've lived in it. And if you haven't seen this new DVD that we've just completed recently called The Testimonies of Miraculous Healings, there's two DVDs in that package and called Testimonies of Miraculous Healings. It starts off and with Johnny Brumfield in Manny, Louisiana, that got two new knees instantly when we prayed for him after a tree fell on him and crushed his legs. And you'll get to see Johnny give his testimony, and then Terry and Frank's the next three, and then you'll see some more. There's eight on the first DVD, and then eight more on the second DVD, and they're all miraculous healings or testimonies about people. And so God told me, when I said, Lord, these things you're doing, people don't believe it. He said, no problem, go get them. He said, I'll give you this airplane, go get them, take them out to GLC and put them on film. And he said, send them out and give them to people, let them see what I'm doing. And so, boy, that's what we did. We took them out there, and we let them see these things, and we put them on. Have any of you seen the miraculous healings testimonies so far? Some of you have. Only a few of you, but a few. Well, those of you that haven't, those of you that saw it, did you like it?
Yes.
Was those great stories those people give? Awesome. What a mighty God we serve. Be sure and get you some, and if we run out, we can run over and make some more. You know, so we're right here close to where we make them. You know, we can make hundreds of them in just a few minutes if we have to. So, you know, did you know if you show favoritism between people, you're a sinner? You know, now the average Christian don't know that because, you know, we show favoritism. You know, I mean, here's a man walks in. Of course, you know, don't know people. You know, here's this guy. I've never seen this guy before in my life till today. I don't think. Have I?
No.
Okay, so I don't know nothing about this guy, so I can tell you this story. I walk in and here this man walks in and he's got a nice hat on, you know. Maybe he's a man of means, you know. So let me bring you up on the front row. And you sit right here on the front row. You know, you look like a man of means. So then I go over here and here somebody else walks in, you know. Frank. I said, look at this guy. He just dressed normal, you know. He got a little black shirt on, you know. I mean, hey, Frank, I don't want you to sit on the front row. I want you to sit on the back out of the way. Now, what have I just done? Shown favoritism. Now, does that make me guilty of adultery? Somebody says no. But it does. Oh. And you want to know why we're sick? Let's go there. Let's go to James chapter 3. Dave, take me over there to James 3, where he says, there we are right now, James 2, 8 and 9. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Now, are we supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves?
Yes.
So when this man that I've never seen before in my life, in James chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, what am I the royal law of love, what am I supposed to do to him? Love him. Is that right?
Right?
Is that what the scripture says? Whether I know you or not, I'm supposed to love you.
Right.
When I come over to this boy over here, whether I know him or not, what am I supposed to do to this young man?
Love him.
I'm supposed to love him. And there shall be no difference between you and him, right? So I can't. Now then, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. Now the scripture is the royal law. The whole book, not just part of it. But if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, and it says, you shall love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Now then, you know how many women especially, but it's been a few men, but you know how many women I've seen sick with breast cancer? And you know what the reason, you know the reason they were sick? It's because when I looked that woman right in the eye, I said, do you love yourself? You know what they say? No. Who could love me? Now, wait a minute. Did God tell you to love yourself? And you don't love yourself? Do you know that's a sin? You know that'll bring breast cancer on you? Now, you know the average woman doesn't know that. If a woman knew that breast cancer was come upon her because she didn't love herself, because she has a problem with a female, and the female is herself. But do you know something else we learned? That if you have a problem with another female, you don't love another woman, and you got a grudge against her, and you're a woman, it'll bring breast cancer on you every time.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.